A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can make a change. We need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
COVID-19 patients need your help.
If you've fully recovered from COVID-19
or unknowingly been exposed to it,
you may have the antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients recover.
Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies.
Visit Vitalant.org today to schedule an appointment to donate blood.
That's Vitalant.org. Help save lives and schedule your appointment at Vitalant.org.
You could help save lives.
This is an ode to the glass noodle. You may be glass only in name, but our love for you is crystal clear in every Bibigo Korean dumpling. Your tantalizing texture tickles the taste buds, and while you are see-through, the world can't help but see you. The glass noodle, one of many obsessively crafted ingredients in every plump and juicy Korean dumpling from Bibigo. Go handcrafted. Go Bibigo. Authentic Korean dumplings now in the freezer aisle.
This is Podco Media Networks.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hey, Garnett, how are you doing?
Great. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Pretty thrilled to have a great guest with us, Lauren Conaway, who's founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC in Kansas City. And we talked with her a couple of weeks ago, and we're just fascinated with what she's doing. Do you want to introduce her?
Sure. Welcome, first of all, Lauren. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here.
Mark already talked a little bit about, at least about your title, and I'll just amplify a bit with my perceptions from the first call. So we have, I would say, a long-term innovation practitioner who has had experience at both large corporations like Boeing and then also experience on the, essentially, the startup side, because Innovator was her brainchild, her startup, essentially. And so, you know, that spectrum of experience from large corporations down to the startup level, I think is going to end up being a theme about Lauren that comes out in this conversation. And I'll leave it at that. And we can start talking more about Lauren and Innovator Kansas City. So, Lauren, welcome again. And can you just start us off with a little bit of origin story, a little bit of backstory about IHKC? Maybe a good way to lead into that, actually, is just talking a little bit more, you know, about your career and what got you to the point where you started this.
Well, yeah. So I have always had a little bit of the entrepreneurial spirit in me. You know, I got my first job at 14 and became, you know, pretty self-sufficient. But when I was in college, I actually started a St. Louis arts and entertainment webzine called STL Scene. And I was creative director along with my co-founder. And I did that during college. And what was interesting, we started to gain success and social media was becoming a thing. And so
what year was this approximately or year?
This was back in like 2001 to 2003.
Oh, early in the social media game. Oh, very early. Really? Yeah.
So social media was coming to the forefront. And I mean, we're talking like the early days of like Blogspot, LiveJournal, Zanga, AOL chat rooms, things like that. So STL Scene was leveraging these technologies and we were kind of, you know, a little bit on the cutting edge because we were very experimental. And so I had people start approaching me just saying, you know, how are you doing this? What does this look like? How are you being successful in gaining readers for your webzine? And at some point I realized, and it probably took me a little bit too long to realize, but I was like, you know, I could probably make some money at this. And so all throughout career, I have been a, you know, marketing, social media freelancer. I picked up additional skills and, you know, I was an English and history major, so marketing was not really on my mind as a career path, but probably know a lot of entrepreneurs just kind of fall into what they do. So when I entered the career force, the workforce, I started my career in actually in hotels. And so I have, you know, that customer service. I did front office management, operations and processes. And then I started working for Boeing. They have a pretty large leadership facility in St. Louis, in the north of St. Louis. And I acted as one of the conference planning managers. So I was planning and managing and beta testing these training courses for Boeing managers all the way up to C-suite level and then ultimately the Boeing board of directors. So I did that for a little while. And, you know, all the while I'm freelancing and just kind of, you know, doing that side hustle thing. And I realized that I wanted to take it full time. So did that. And it was scary. My first company was called V3 Creative, but I loved every second of it. I moved here to Kansas City to be with my now husband. When I first made the transition here, it was really interesting because I realized that all of my clients were either bi-coastal or international. And I thought that was really strange. I kind of missed the interfacing, you know, that face-to-face connection with clients. And so I started to connect with the startup community here in Kansas City and realized that I just loved this community of incredible, passionate, smart, resourceful people. And so I started volunteering for events and, you know, going to events and learning and meeting and connecting. You know, during that time I had the side hustle and then I also had my full-time job. So I spent some time in automotive. I spent some time in IT. And, you know, aerospace, automotive, and IT, they're all very male-dominated industries. And I had some experiences that were tough as a woman specifically. So the genesis for Innovate Her KC came about when I was working. I had actually gotten a job at the Kansas City Startup Foundation, and I was their director of operations. And it is a fabulous organization that supports the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Kansas City. By, you know, they have education, they have Startland News, which is a digital publication, and then they have like events and connection opportunities and things like that. So they do really, really great work. But so Innovate Her KC, the realization came about that I was meeting all of these amazing women at events, but I was always either executing the event because event planning and management was a big part of my job. Or, you know, these networking events where you have name tags and you're just passing out your business card, there isn't really much of an opportunity to connect on a deeper, meaningful level. And so I was looking at these women as potential mentors and potential friends, but I wasn't really getting the opportunity. And so very selfishly, I put together an outing with women that I just wanted to get to know. And we went out and we got mani-pedis and we had champagne and we hung out and we had just this amazing time.
That's great.
I know, it was so much fun.
If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
I'm so happy to hear this story, the mani-pedi story. This is going to become part of the mythology around Lauren Conway and Innovator Kansas City. Yeah. I love this.
Sometimes you want your nails to look good. Sometimes you want to be a girl. It's great. But what was really interesting is, so the women who attended this event, they all had a great time and they were like, when's the next one? And I was like, well, you know, hadn't really thought that far. But even more telling, I had a bunch of women over the course of the next few days that I had never met reaching out to me. They had tracked down my information and they were like, well, put me on your mailing list. I want to go to the next one. And I was like, what mailing list? What are you talking about? But so there was a clear and demonstrated need. And I decided, I was like, you know, I can take that hit. I can be responsive to that. So
that's a great story. That's a great like origin story and background. But it's like everything that you did in corporate America and Boeing in particular led up to this, because what I heard you say was essentially your skills at creating like a safe space, a productive space, you know, an enjoyable and engaging space for people to share in, you know, at a very high level. That's sort of the genesis, right, of Innovator. Yeah.
So my time in male-dominated industries, and I'm going to throw out like hashtag not all men, but you know there were just some you got to have that caveat because I love male allies. You guys are the best, but you know there are definitely some difficult people to deal with, and so I was hearing things and being told things and being glossed over. You know, it particularly in automotive, it's a pretty toxic environment for a woman, particularly when you're woman at the management table. And so this kind of coalescing idea was not just, you know, okay, this isn't the right environment for me. I'm not having fun anymore. I'm not, you know, I'm very good at my job and it brings me no joy. But the next step was, how do I make it so that this never happens to another woman, that another woman never feels unsupported and unable to access the resources and tools and network that she needs in order to succeed in any industry. And so that was kind of a part, it became a part of my heart. And I had to sit on it for a minute until, you know, the Kansas City Startup Foundation and connecting with this amazing community of entrepreneurs. And I just kind of had the realization, like, this is time, you know?
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, so much. I was hoping that you would do, you know, the audience might recall that we've spoken once before and they, you know, our larger Podco media company network audience might actually be hearing much more of you in the future, hopefully, which I hope is the case. But I was really glad that you shared the Boeing story the first time around, and I wasn't sure you were going to share it on this. I just think that's so telling. You and I have a little shared history, right, around Boeing and St. Louis. And
yeah.
I remember going to the internal ventures group. I think the guy who ran it was Carter Williams, and you know, we were doing business with them, and you know, I must have made a handful of trips, maybe three or four trips, and you know, I'm contrasting like my experience as a man with what you're saying your experience was as a woman, and I'm, you know, like there's part of me that is absolutely shocked that we could be looking at the same cast of characters and having such a different theatrical experience, as it were, right? I mean, it just brings it home to me personally, like, you know, how much, you know, work is still to be done on the whole gender equities piece.
Yeah, and I will say that Boeing was actually a fantastic company to work for. You know, I give them major props for their staff development programs, and I they were definitely the most innocuous of the industries that I went through. On the sliding scale, you know, Boeing was, I learned a lot there, but, you know, there were situations that popped up. Well, and I mean, just something as silly. So like we saw a lot of international visitors. And like when we would have certain international visitors in, it was like, okay, so you're a woman, you can't interact with this individual. They're not going to look at you. They're not going to speak to you, even though I was the one who knew the most about what was going on. And I mean, just situations like that where it was like, huh, this is an interesting experience. You know, when I worked in automotive, I dealt with customers a lot and I would have customers call and I was very knowledgeable about cars. And I would have people ask for the guy, you know, next to me. And so that happened like three or four times. And one of the times it was a woman. And I was like, wow, I can't, you know, this internalized misogyny. I can't with this right now. But in that environment, you have to, you know, the customer is always right kind of deal. So you do what's right.
Sure.
But at the same time, it was just like, death by a thousand cuts kind of deal. Because things like that happen all the time.
And I guess, I mean, I don't want to psychoanalyze it too much, but I guess, you know, part of the strain must have been around this like cognitive dissonance, right? So if the corporate culture is set up to have so much training and so much support on that level, and then the personal or individual reality is so death by a thousand cuts and so, you know, unsupportive, that dissonance between the support and the lack of support, I mean, honestly, it's like, that must have been tough.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that. It can be burdensome, you know, in a lot of different ways. Sure. So like, for instance, when I was in automotive, I had a particularly toxic boss who would just say awful, terrible things to me. And I think I actually, you know, told you a story about how I quit in a blaze of glory at one point.
Tell it again.
So I had a boss, and the thing is, in automotive, it is filled with very direct, very alpha males. And I was often in my job was in business development and internet sales. So my job was to set up and run business development centers. And I really loved it. I was really good at it. But I had this boss, and he was just not very nice. And it wasn't just me as a woman, but there was a misogynistic tinge to pretty much everything. We didn't get along. He would ask me to do things that I wasn't comfortable with ethically, and I would stand up to him, or he would, you know, kind of come after my team. And I, you know, I'm not great at protecting myself, but I'll protect my team all day long. And so we had this just very contentious relationship to the point where like other salesmen would come up to me and be like, Lauren, do you want us to like step in? Do you want us to contact the EAP line? Because this is ridiculous. And I just took it because, you know, in that kind of environment, if you are a woman, there is a burden and a responsibility. You never want to be the reason that the next woman doesn't get hired. And so if you are too emotional or too sensitive or, you know, any of that, you become the reasoning that the hiring manager doesn't hire the next woman. And that's what you don't want. So there's a deep responsibility there that I carried. But then one day we were in a meeting and I don't even remember what we were arguing about, but we were yelling at each other. Like I was giving it back. And at one point he called me a dumb C word. And to be honest, like I'm not a dumb
person. No way.
I actually took more offense at being called dumb. The C word part, I was just like, you know, I'm done. I can't anymore. It was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And so I left. And for 3 days, I got calls from my boss's boss and, you know, leaving messages like, where are you? When are you coming back? We need you to come back. And so finally on the third day, I picked up the phone and it was my boss's boss. And he was like, you know, what happened? What's going on? We need you back. And my response to him was, well, you know, there were witnesses in the room. I'm sure you are well aware of what happened and what was said. The question that I have to ask you is, what are you going to do about it? And his response to me was, oh, well, you know, that's just how he is. You know that. Like, it's just how he is. And so my response back was, that is exactly the wrong answer. And so here's what's going to happen. I'm going to contact my attorney and you are going to pay me 6 months severance and I won't sue. And so they did. And, you know, it was a very powerful moment for me. It was just me kind of owning, like, I don't deserve to be treated like that. And I need to stand up for myself. But at the same time, it was actually a deep shame that I felt around that situation. Because when I left with no warning, and I left my team. And I had always been, you know, I was always there to protect them and to kind of run interference in this environment. And, you know, I was happy to, well, I wasn't happy to take on that duty, but I took on that duty because I felt it was necessary. So when this happened, I left them. And so again, like that crystallizing internal driving force became, how do I protect them all? How do I turn this into something positive, and how do I make it so that no other woman has to experience this? And that, you know, it's become a very important part of who I am as a person. And it's become a very important part of Innovate Her KC. So that's my story.
This is the perfect segue. Thank you for sharing that. You know, it takes a lot of, I think, you know, I know Mark does, and I do. We appreciate the candor and, you know, the insight into the way the other half of the world thinks. Not every male sort of has that level of empathy. I joke with Mark all the time, and he's a very empathetic guy, and maybe I'm much less so, but you know, I'm also a pretty quick study. You know, once I learn about how toxic and hurtful, you know, those things are, it just becomes something that you know, even if you're not empathetic, you can mechanically, you know, kind of teach yourself and try to grow out of. I come from a fairly, you know, my family's Indian, and you know, they're fairly sexist, fairly male dominated, even though in many like high roles that, you know, women enjoy that sort of like those sort of sinecures in high roles, leading families and leading governments and leading companies. And you know, it's still like at the, on the personal level, Indian culture is very sexist in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, I feel like the more contact I have with folks who can help me, you know, divest that perspective and sort of expand my perspective, then better off I'm going to be as a business person. Hopefully that's how, you know, a lot of men think.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's true. I mean, I do think, I have faith that a lot of men do think that way. Unfortunately, it's just kind of a situation where the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so the ones who don't tend to, I think, almost have more impact because it hurts more and it's harder and it's certainly more noticeable. But I mean, please don't misunderstand. Like, I would say that most men are fantastic allies and really want to see women succeed. And, you know, and that's very much appreciated.
So let's talk about who Innovate Her serves. I mean, on a very macro level, the obvious answer is women. Yeah. But maybe you could drill down a little. Right? See, that's the other thing. I'm not very empathetic, and I have a gift for the obvious.
That's for sure.
I'm convinced those two things have gotten me very far in the business world. but maybe you could drill down more on the segmentation in your sort of client base. I was reading recently that you had like 540 members. That's a sizable group. They, you know, tell us more about how the constituency falls out.
So we're actually up to, last time I checked, 838 members.
So my goodness.
Yeah, the number fluctuates every day. And so people often ask me, well, how many members do you have now? And I'm like, I don't know. I got to check Facebook real quick because it's constantly changing and growing, which is, you know, fantastic. But so Innovate Her KC started off as a very entrepreneurial women's group. And what because that was the world and the network that I had and knew. And so I mean, it just started off with like 50 women that I knew from the startup community. Like our first name was actually Startup Sheroes. and it was never intended.
Oh, I like Sheroes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I loved it, but we were like, is it too cute?
Is that going to be the name of your podcast, or?
Maybe. We definitely had the question where we actually sat, we went to a Kansas City Business Journal Women's Summit. We were sitting around and we were like, Startup Sheroes. Well, first of all, a lot of our members at that time did not identify with startups anymore. We had grown to the point where, so Innovate Her KC has become kind of a self-perpetuating system where women invite other women. And I no longer have to be as involved in the continuous posting of content because we've kind of reached a little bit of a critical mass, hopefully, you know, the first of many for activity. So women had started inviting friends and, you know, family members and women that they thought would benefit from the group. And so we started to see women from other industries come in. And so we had our entrepreneurs, but then we started seeing educators and technologists and politicians and, you know, all of these incredible women. But we had to ask ourselves the question, like, are we really startup focused anymore? No. And so we changed our name to Innovate Her KC to hopefully kind of bring in this cross-disciplinary membership and to, you know, say, hey, no matter what industry you are in, as long as you are enacting what we call radical positive change in Kansas City and you're female or female identifying, we want you here. You're welcome here. So I have a very unique perspective in that I know where a lot of these women come from. And one of the things that I have learned and have seen played out time and time again is that silos don't serve, because you have, you know, the entrepreneur post a question and then you look at the responses and you see the educator respond or the community activist respond and give really good actionable advice. And so that industry affinity group is not so important in Innovate Her KC. It's much more about, you know, we are all women. We all have commonalities in our experiences, no matter what our industry or sector is. And let's talk about that.
And you'll be pleased to know that Lauren is starting the Innovate Her podcast here on Podco Media Networks. And you can listen right now. So head over to innovateherpod.com to listen and subscribe.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit the innovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.